So how's your life going? Is it great or terrible? Or like for many of us, is it just kind of meh? That kind of low-grade mental weariness can affect your self-esteem, relationships, and motivation. And it's described in detail in the new book, Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down by Corey Keyes. Corey is a professor emeritus of sociology at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, where he held the Winship Distinguished Research Professorship. He was a member of the prestigious MacArthur Foundation Research Network on Successful Aging, and he joins us now to share five of his big ideas.
Greetings. I'm Corey Keyes, author of the book Languishing, How to Feel Alive in a World That Wears Us Down. Here are five lessons from my book that may entice you to read it, I hope, or recommend it to someone you love. Lesson number one. We are born into a world where others have defined what is and what is not important. What is considered important gets our attention. What is deemed unimportant remains invisible. Nobody studied mental health before me. What serious scholars studied was mental illness. I inherited a world where mental health was the absence of mental illness. Mental health, in other words, was an empty category, and it was therefore invisible. Astronomers launched satellites, each time with better telescopes, more powerful telescopes, to discover what's never been seen before in the universe. We social scientists also make discoveries, but we don't often use the word discoveries in our own field, and others don't use that word to describe what we've done. But I think we make discoveries just like astronomers and chemists and other physical scientists, because we create measurement tools, much like better telescopes, to observe and study what was invisible to prior generations. Over 20 years ago, I created a measurement tool with 14 simple questions that since that time has been used to diagnose the presence and absence of good mental health, which I called flourishing and languishing. My book makes the case, and I hope you will agree, that both of those conditions, flourishing and languishing, need more of our attention. And I want you to come away from reading this book to understand why. It's central to solving the growing crisis of mental illness that we hear again and again that's happening in our world and especially among our young people. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two is the following. Languishing can be described as feeling meh or being blah. That might be true, but such descriptions don't do it justice. So let me give you a sampling of some of the 14 questions in my measurement tool to describe the condition of languishing. People, at least some of them, who are languishing don't feel they belong to a community. They don't feel they are making much of a contribution to the world. They don't like most parts of their personality. They don't have warm, trusting relationships. They aren't being challenged to become a better person. They're not confident most of the time to think and express their own ideas and opinions. They rarely feel their life has meaning or direction, and they don't feel happy or satisfied with their life. It's not one of those things. It's the whole combination of those things. You have to have, in other words, the absence of at least 7 out of the 14 signs of flourishing in order to be diagnosed as languishing. One of those signs has to be a deficit of feeling happy or satisfied with life. But the rest, at least 66, have to be a deficit in what I call functioning well. Things like purpose in life, a sense of belonging, a sense that you matter or are contributing things to the world, that you like most parts of your personality, that you can make sense of what's going on in the world around you, and so forth. So think of languishing as the following. It is the loss, or it's the situation where someone never had a lot of the good things in life that makes their life matter or makes their life meaningful. This is why people who languish sometimes describe themselves as dying inside or dead inside, because life has worn them down, taken their meaning, their mattering, and their purpose, and so forth. Problem is, if you stay there too long, languishing will put you at risk for a whole bunch of problems I talk about in the book and will summarize shortly, not the least of which is depression. This leads me to lesson number 3. Languishing is as important and as serious as mental illness. Yes, you've heard me correctly. I might go even as far to say, and I hope to convince you, that the presence and absence of good mental health, that is flourishing and languishing, are far more important than something as serious as clinical depression. Here's what I and colleagues who have been studying this for the last 20, 25 years have found are the 13 reasons you will want to protect against the loss of flourishing if you and your loved ones are flourishing, or why you would want to begin your own journey or help a loved one begin their journey from languishing towards flourishing. I won't give you all 13, but here is a shortened list. So think of it the following way. What research has shown is that flourishing protects against, that means it decreases the risk of the following, or languishing makes you vulnerable, meaning it increases the risk of the following problems: suicide attempts and suicidality. Suicidality means planning and giving serious thought to ending your life. Languishing also increases the risk in teenagers of self-harm, that is, hitting themselves, cutting themselves, pulling hair. In other words, languishing is a condition where people don't feel much of anything, and as teenagers, when they feel that, they would harm themselves to feel something rather than feeling the torture of feeling nothing. Languishing also increases the risk of addictions like alcoholism. It increases the risk of depression, of anxiety. Study during the pandemic showed that among frontline healthcare workers in Italy, those who were languishing were much more likely to come down with post-traumatic stress disorder. Languishing also increases the risk of relapse of mental illness, and that is sliding back into mental illness after having reached clinical recovery following treatment for your mental illness. And last but not least, we've shown languishing in middle-aged and older adults increases the risk of premature death, and that is net of most known causes of death that are physical markers and risks of death, as well as net of any mental illness. Put it this way, we could prevent and reduce the amount of problems like depression and anxiety if we in the world take languishing and take good mental health far more seriously. So why would you wait to let something as valuable as your mental health break down when there is nothing society can do to fix it once you become another mental illness statistic? I know and write about my own story, how my depression, my PTSD and trauma guided my personal search and my intellectual research-based search for flourishing. And that's because there was nothing all the king's horses and all the king's men who have medications and treatments can do to put me back together again. So I believe we should be doing more to prevent, and we can prevent by promoting the very things we want in our life, which is good mental health. Lesson number 4, flourishing is so much more than happiness. In fact, my book argues we need to stop prioritizing happiness alone. I conducted a study to investigate how much young people prioritize each of the 14 signs of flourishing, asking them to rate how important each aspect was to them and for their lives. The feeling good stuff, like happiness and satisfaction, came in first place as most important to young people. The two aspects of functioning well Well, they came in last place. Things like purpose in life, acceptance of yourself, personal growth, positive relationships with others, feeling integrated into a community, making a contribution to society, being able to accept other people. Those are all the things that were rated far less important to young people than feeling happy. Here's why that matters. People who are flourishing, meaning they are functioning well in their life and feel good about it, have the lowest rates of mental illnesses like depression. But there is a sizable group of young people and, I suspect, adults and older adults who are flourishing when it comes to feeling good, meaning they feel happy or satisfied much of the time, but they're languishing when it comes to functioning well. That group that feels happy but isn't functioning well has over 5 times the rate of depression than the group that is flourishing. In other words, when happiness is not tethered to a life where you have purpose, belonging, acceptance, personal growth, and other aspects of functioning well, it is not a very healthy form of happiness. It is like eating Cheetos all the time. It feels good, but lacks any nutrition. A life that feels good, but has no meaning or mattering, lacks substance. This is why my book prioritizes functioning well over feeling good. It's also what brings me to lesson 5. The second half of the book is devoted to what I call the 5 vitamins that address a flourishing deficiency. These are 5 activities that you can do, and you can do as a family or a community to help address languishing. Because research has shown that people who do engage in more helping behaviors, learning something new, socializing, playing, and last but not least, spiritual or religious activities, are more likely to become or stay flourishing. Not only did flourishers do more of each of those 5 activities, and as a result, stayed flourishing, the good news is that people who were depressed, or those who were languishing, who helped, played, learned, socialized, and engaged in spiritual or religious activities more, moved slowly but surely from languishing and closer to flourishing. Even better news is that you don't need to reach flourishing before you experience the benefits, because each increment up the continuum towards flourishing produces benefits. So I devote 5 chapters in the second half of this book to each of those 5 activities. I call them the 5 vitamins for flourishing. So let me end by paraphrasing a quote I use in the conclusion. Some people see the world as it is and ask why. Some of us dreamed things that never were and asked why not. Do not be content to know why you are languishing. That is not enough. I want you to do as I did in my personal search for flourishing, and that is to dream of something that could be, and ask yourself, why not me? Flourishing. Why not you?
Thank you, Corey. That was 5 big ideas from Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down by Corey Keyes. I'm Michael Kopnat. Thanks for listening.